much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right. Ready? Come on, guys. Early worm gets the worm.
Another worm? Like, are they friends?
This early bird gets the worm.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
So, congratulations to all of us, and may equality live long and prosper.
A marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
And I can have my way with you.
You always do.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Sounds like the beaver had quite a day.
We just say pound. That's what we call it in the hood.
That's good stuff. Thank you very much, sir.
And now.
Hey, listen, anytime you want me to come on and say something, just you know, and you want to sing on the air, I've been on the phone with David Hasselhoff all night. You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
Our feature presentation.
If we've learned anything, it's that the Hoff loves to rock. That's the one thing we know.
Yes.
Hey, Throaty. Hey, party people. How are you?
That's good. How are you?
He doesn't
sound
better.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 for the Wednesday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew coming up here in a moment.
Oh, no.
What? No. Why are you all-knowing?
Listen to you.
It's going to get better.
That's what you said yesterday.
And it did.
It did. It got better.
He got better through the morning. I got worse.
Listen to Lisa May, though.
But
she sounds dulcet.
Am much better.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, you are. In all ways, by the way. Look, it's a balancing act. I mean, obviously, I feel terrible, and
right.
I would probably be doing my body a service by being back in bed.
Yes.
I also don't want to annoy everybody by coming in and sounding crappy all day long, too.
Right. And yet you're doing both.
But what I'm hoping is that what I have to say is so magnificent that the world will feel will be grateful that I decided to brave it and come on in.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
I don't have anything to back that experience on.
And some modesty.
No, I'm just saying that it would be, hopefully it's better to be here than to not for the general well-being of the program. That's all I'm hoping.
All right. Well, we all hope that, I guess.
Yeah. So I apologize if it sounds rough, but I think it'll get better. I'm pounding the tea, and I did take a very long hot shower to try to get things moving. And
I tried that this morning, by the way. Since
pounding the tea
yesterday, he
is
did
that a euphemism.
Is actually drinking some hot tea first thing in the morning to get your throat warmed up. And right. I didn't do that yesterday. And I thought, well, that's a good idea. I'll do that. Wanted to puke my guts out as soon as I drank it.
That's what limbers
Makes
up your throat
so
is the puking.
Sick.
It's not the drinking of the tea; it's the puking that warms you up.
They don't tell you that. Do
same
they?
Thing no. happened to him. You can't drink hot tea.
Yeah.
On an empty stomach.
You know what you need? A little Irish whiskey.
Ooh.
Oh, is that the answer?
Lubricate the pipes. Yeah.
Totally.
That
yeah.
is not a bad idea.
Many elite singers come through the Kevin and Bean Morning Show very early in the morning hitting a little whiskey
with a little toddy.
Sure.
Lemon juice and honey.
Yep. Magic.
I wish I'd thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You could just drink herbal.
Make the show go by faster, too, I bet.
Yeah, it sure does. I got some Irish whiskey in the office.
And I'm going to have some in my coffee
right.
very soon.
Now we're talking a show.
Hey, Ralph's been drinking his and his coffee for years now, and he never loses his voice. He sounds great every day.
That's
so. Right.
Guy knows what he's talking about. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's take some calls, get on the air, get a prize. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
By
the way, Steve is the guy who never gets sick. Seems like he's always here, day in,
I know.
Day out.
I don't
it's
know.
An Iron
I
Man.
How the guy does it.
Reliable. Reliable.
Dr. Green Thumb's Spring Gathering is happening this Saturday at the NOS Event Center, hosted by our friend B Real from Cypress Hill. Method Man will be there, Red Man will be there, Cottonmouth Kings, and so much more. You can get tickets through Ticketfly.com, or you can win them right now on the Kevin Bean Show for What to Do Nephew. Why don't we start with really the dumbest suggestion I've heard in a long time. Line 5, please. It's going to be Alex who gets us started here on the Kevin Bean Show.
All right.
Hi, Alex. Welcome to the program What to Do.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Tito Ortiz and Jenna Jameson.
Right.
Publicity stunt.
Gosh, if it is, it's a bad one.
No.
Why would you even suggest that? I mean, how is this good publicity for either one of them?
Well, I was watching TMZ yesterday, and they had this MMA guy they were talking to, and I don't know, he just came off a little too strong about the whole situation, and he brought up Chris Brown as well, so just seemed kind of like a publicity stunt.
Yeah, Chris Brown certainly benefited from that whole Rihanna thing.
Alex, you're saying that because the story made it to TMZ, you assume that it was just a publicity stunt? And because,
no, not necessarily, but just the way the guy came off, the one they interviewed on yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw yesterday's edition.
No.
Yeah. I think you're right, though. I think Tito Ortiz's rep certainly has been enhanced by him crying like a baby at a press conference.
Right, and it almost seems like he would need this.
I'm being sarcastic here. I don't think it did him any good crying in front of the cameras. It made him look a little weak.
What about the part where he was accused of throwing a woman into a bathtub? What about that? That makes him look like a He-Man, right, Ralph?
Alex,
I guess I didn't hear all that.
Yeah.
I don't think you really thought that one through.
Might be a touch off the target today, Alex.
Thank you for the call, though. Let's try Jimmy. Jimmy is on line one. He joins us on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Jimmy. Thanks for calling. What'd it do?
Well, this weekend I went to Toys R Us, and I ran into the Octo Mom, but she only had two of her kids.
You think she lost the rest?
She has 14 kids, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
You can't take them all everywhere you go, I would imagine. And I also would imagine that sometimes it's nice to have some private time with mommy. Sometimes it'd be great if the kids could get a little bit of more individual attention rather than just be part of a crowd in their house all the time. So I think it's probably a good idea sometimes to just take a couple with you.
Or the other ones were in their pen. I think she's got a pen at her house where she keeps them.
That's possible, too. So, what kind of reaction was she getting out on the street, by the way? Do people talk to her or just point and stare or what?
Well, I didn't even recognize her until my girlfriend pointed her out. She said, that was her. And then I realized she did look like an Angelina Jolie cyborg.
Cyborg. It's a good call.
Did you make a pass? You could probably hit that, you know.
I thought, actually, you know what? I was going to, but then girlfriend came back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Thanks for the call. By the way, she looks like Angelina Jolie after 10 very bad years of partying, is what she looks like.
No, after a car wreck.
We got a bunch of Laker calls here. Which one do you like? Let's take Mike. Mike is calling us on line 7 on the Kevin Bean Show. Of course, the NBA playoffs are in full effect right now. Last night, very exciting game for Laker fans. Not so much for Thunder fans. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning. How's it going, fellas?
Good. What it do, Mike?
What's up, bud?
What's up? I'm here to represent our Lakers. Everyone's been talking crap on the Lakers for the last 3-4 days on all the sports channels. Kobe's old. LeBron's taking over. And obviously, last night we came back and bounced back. And I think we're going to be all right.
Well, Mike, you have to admit, the Lakers were giving people reason to talk the past few games.
Oh, I mean, obviously. I mean, we got, especially that game 4 where we got beat by like 20 or 30 points.
Yeah.
But, when you're a true fan, you're never going to fear. And, Kobe's still got something left in the tank. He's never done.
Feeling you!
I don't agree with you, Mike, in that if you're a true fan, you never fear. Because I'm, a huge, huge Laker
Psycho
fan.
Mike! Bang! Do not break the way of the bamboo.
And I had to say that before the playoffs started, I was saying, like everybody else, the most cliche thing, oh, the Lakers just have to flip that switch. They have to flip that switch, and then they'll turn it on. But I did not know if they were going to actually flip that switch after game 4, and turns out they sure did.
I think a little fear helps motivate them as well, anybody else.
Yeah, but that was an excellent game, and that's exactly how I always envisioned the Lakers could play, this Lakers team.
The other thing is tell me if you guys agree or not, I don't think it makes you a bad fan or less of a fan to have honest criticism for your team also.
Not at all.
Everything they do is perfect every game. You can still look at them and go, hey, there's some areas I can improve. That doesn't make me love them any less or root for them any less.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're right. But Laker fans, much like Yankee fans, oftentimes fall victim to that because they're so accustomed to being successful. You know.
Right. Thank you very much for the call. Here's a Kobe fan who really, he loves his man win or lose.
You're upset. You need somebody to confide in. I'll be there for you. You know, it's like I'll do that. I won't do that thing where people like try to fix everything. Mm-hmm. And like I got all the answers. Nice. Maybe I'll just hold you. You know, maybe we just hold each other.
Right. Nice.
And then, you know, be okay with the silence and like not feel like
somebody has to say something.
We just like listen to what our bodies tell us to do.
Right. Hold on.
Just do what our bodies tell us to do. Whatever you need, I'm ready to give you all of me. No, but not in a gay way.
Not a gay way, right? Of course not. Just a Kobe fan. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Bean Show because actually, despite my participation in it, I think it's going to be a pretty good one. And the centerpiece of the Kevin Bean Show will be almost exactly 2 hours from right now, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk to the director of what possibly will be the greatest movie of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, Sharktopus.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, Glenn O'Brien, we haven't really given you much of a Sharktopus update in recent months, but Ralph, this is a movie that you caught wind of very early on in the process and have dedicated your life to being a part of, right?
When the Sci-Fi Channel announced their plans to film a movie called Sharktopus about a sea monster that is half shark, half octopus, all monster. I immediately got on board. I knew this was going to be a classic, and I wanted to be one of the creative forces behind it. And
sure.
Today we're talking to Declan O'Brien, who is the director of this project, and I couldn't be more excited.
And not just as an actor. I mean, just as a fan, you want to just touch the hem of his garment today,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, the acting boat may have sailed. You know, I've been out of touch for about a month or so dealing with family mm-hmm. stuff, and I believe principal photography may have already been done for a Sharktopus, but we'll have to ask Declan when we get him on the phone.
Maybe there's a blue screen deal where they can still have you get killed by the Sharktopus.
Oh,
you know,
be great.
Figure that out. Also, what does the great Sean Connery, perhaps the best of all James Bonds, have to say about the franchise being in limbo due to the studio running out of money? We always love to catch up with Mr. Connery. That's coming up on today's program. Lisa May was on vacation last week, and as they do in Boston, they scammed the dumb, wide-eyed Westerner who was visiting. She got ripped off while she was in Boston in a way that maybe you hadn't thought about before. So we are going to talk
about
ways that
you got scammed.
That is a wicked pisser.
It actually happened when I went to New York, not in Boston.
That's a wicked pisser.
Thank you.
Got an update on Amy Winehouse, too, who continues to amaze with how many different ways she can get in the news, none of which have to do with her making new music. So what's up with Amy? Iron Man 2, the most anticipated movie of 2010, except for Sharktopus, opens up at the end of next week. We'll give you a chance to see it early. You can win your tickets in less than an hour from right now here on the Kevin
Iron Man versus Sharktopus.
Oh, that's a battle.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Wow.
That'd be the third movie.
Wow.
Wow.
If we get Jon Favreau on, we got to pitch that. That's got to be done. That has to happen, right?
Yep.
And also, a member of the Kevin and Bean Show got a shout-out on the David Letterman show last night.
What?
How about that?
What?
Somebody whose voice you hear and don't necessarily enjoy every day during this program got a shout-out from David Letterman himself.
Oh,
we got that tape.
Dave was talking about me.
Dave on Dave.
He said Dave, so I knew he was talking about me, and I was like, really?
We have the tape, and we'll explain all coming up. Plus, Ralph has the showbiz beat, including some surprising new Sandra Bullock news. If you haven't heard this, it is definitely worth sticking around for right after this on an all-new Kevin and Bean. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ 551. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Ralph is here with our very first look at the showbiz beat for a new day. Ralph, what's going on?
Sandra Bullock finally speaking out about the Jesse James fiasco that ended up being her marriage. She talked to People magazine in an issue that'll be on stands Friday, and you can read all about it, where, not surprisingly, Sandra announces that, yes, she has filed for divorce. Sandra adds, I am sad and I am scared. What is surprising, however, is the cover of the new issue of People magazine, which features Sandra holding her newly adopted son.
What?
Louis Bardot Bullock. He is 3.5 months old. He is the result of a 4-year adoption process that Sandra was going through with her then-husband, Jesse James. And she will now be raising Louis as a single mother.
I've seen the photo of this People magazine cover. It's uncanny how much the baby looks like Jesse James, too. I think it's going to be painful every time she stares at him now to see her husband's face looking right back.
The baby is adopted, so it wouldn't look like Jesse
that
James.
That was a surprise for me.
Secondly, he's black.
The baby's black.
What?
Yeah. Which makes me think, adoption or on-set romance from The Blind Side? That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying maybe that kid protected her blind side a little bit more than we know. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, this is the first time I ever had this.
What, a bed?
Oh, no, a room. Hey, why don't you get on the bed with me?
Oh, God, Ralph.
Hey.
It's a scene from the movie. I wonder if she's trying, this is some sort of a retirement plan for her. She's trying to raise herself an NFL player, maybe to support her in her older years.
Apparently, Sandra found the baby in New Orleans. And, of course, named him Louis after Louis Armstrong.
Oh, there you go.
Because she says when she looked at him, she heard the song What a Wonderful World in her head. You might want to look into that with a doctor, Sandra.
Hearing songs in your head. So this just makes the whole thing worse. I mean, I guess better for Sandra because now she has something to throw herself into, something to, you know, not worry about herself all the time, think of another person. But, you know, Jesse, wow, boy, did he screw up. If he's now got a baby at home that he just started to bond with and now he's out.
Yeah, sad news. Neil Patrick Harris has booked a arc on one of my favorite TV shows, Glee. Hollywood Reporter has announced that he will be starring as the guy who tormented Will Schuster back in their high school Glee Club days because he would get all the good parts.
Oh, that'll be funny.
Yeah, so they will be competitive and villains towards each other. So that'll be a good arc. I don't know if you caught it last night or not, but very, very funny show.
It's great.
What's Omar going to do?
I know.
Neil Patrick Harris, one of his favorite actors. He's always said that. But hates the Glee.
Yeah.
Yeah, tough.
A little late on in the hour, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to see Iron Man 2, starring Robert Downey Jr. And looks like RDJ may be planning on starring in another movie about yet another superhero. One of my favorite superheroes, Hugh Hefner. Apparently, there have been talks for some time about Hugh Hefner getting his own biopic about his life. And now the talk seems to be Robert Downey Jr. slipping on the smoking jacket and slippers to play one of my favorite people.
That would be great.
It would be pretty great. Apparently, Hefner was invited to the Iron Man 2 premiere earlier this week and told reporters it's a definite possibility. I couldn't do better than Robert, he added. And they asked Robert Downey Jr. what he thought about starring. And he said, I think I want to be Hugh Hefner. I bet you do, Robert Downey.
That's real talk right there, man.
It sure is.
He's too old to really tell the story of Playboy from the beginning, though, isn't he, Ralph?
Well, the magic of Hollywood.
Yeah,
I guess.
You know, look, sometimes you have to cast older actors to play young when you're doing a person's life story, and vice versa. Sometimes you have to age up younger actors. So I'm sure they'll manage. If anybody can pull it off, it certainly is Robert Downey Jr.
Absolutely.
Speaking of heroes, DC Comics and Warner Brothers has just announced the early stages of a live stage show called Batman Live. Yeah!
Now you're excited.
Now we're talking about stage shows. Enough with Lisa May and her little gay plays. Batman Live will be starring the Caped Crusader and feature him taking on many of his famous villains, including the Joker and the Penguin.
And singing and dancing.
Apparently it's not a musical, thank God.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just going to be a live stage show. The company behind it was the production company that put on the popular Walking with Dinosaurs tour. Remember that you've seen that?
Yeah.
With the special effects of dinosaurs walking around? And so apparently they're putting together a live-action show, I guess, to get kids into hang out with Batman. But I'm just very excited. And I may...
I'm Batman, bitches!
I just got back, but I'm just saying, I may have to leave and go on tour. Might be able to land the role of Alfred or something.
You're also a bug pirate.
Oh, come on!
I wasn't called for.
Jake got booted off Dancing with the Stars last night.
What?
And to much to everyone's surprise. Come on.
And we would know him from...
Pavelka. Jake Pavelka. You know. He invented the Pavelka.
Oh,
which, as you know, is the little thing that catches the zipper at the end of a zipper when you're zipping up your jacket. That's the Pavelka.
Oh.
No, I'm making that up. He was the Bachelor. He was the most recent Bachelor for ABC, and ABC put him on Dancing with the Stars. And he's a good-looking, talented fella. But he ended up in the bottom two after voting with Niecy Nash, and they booted him off. However, he may have won the booby prize, and I mean that in
literally
all possible ways.
Yeah.
Word on the set is backstage rumors from the set say that he and Pamela Anderson, have hit it off considerably.
Oh, wow.
Now, keep in mind, Jake is engaged to the woman that he ended up with on The Bachelor.
Bam Anderson.
However, Pammy and Jake apparently have been hitting it off, and Pam has invited Jake to her home several times to hang out, say insiders.
Mm-hmm.
So Jake may have won a prize after all.
That is that's a new reality show waiting to happen. Pam Anderson with The Bachelor, right?
Yeah.
No way. Uh-oh, sausage.
And Shakira.
Yes.
Will be meeting with the mayor of Phoenix, Arizona tomorrow afternoon.
Uh-oh, apparently, she's got her papers.
She is not too pleased about their new illegal immigration laws in that state, which basically indicate that police can stop anyone for what they deem to be probable cause and demand that they show their legal citizenship.
Their papers.
We need to see your papers!
Yeah.
Was it Nazi Germany when they used to ask people for their papers on the street?
One of the shows this week, I don't remember which one, was doing a story on this and said, seriously, show us your papers is so Nazi that Adolf Hitler's family gets paid every time an Arizona cop has to say it.
So Shakira is going to show up and talk to the mayor of Phoenix and see if she can convince them that maybe this is not the best way to attack the problem of illegal immigration. I hope she talks with her hips.
Really?
Because I feel...
Yes.
He would probably get the most truth out of those.
But I hear her hips often lie.
No, her hips don't lie.
Oh.
It's been documented.
By the way, Mayor Phoenix has no business meeting with Shakira, but when he had the opportunity to, he said, hell yeah, yeah. I'll see her. Absolutely.
I love that little minx. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tonight Show host Jay Leno is 60 years old today. Speaking of the Tonight Show fiasco, Conan O'Brien will be making his first TV appearance on 60 Minutes.
Oh, how
about
really?
That?
Yeah.
This Sunday?
See that. I don't know if it's this Sunday.
I believe it is.
I think it is.
I believe his contract said he wasn't allowed to do any interviews till May, so right. He's going to be legally allowed this weekend, and I guess 60 Minutes got him first, so that should be super.
Steve Croft is going to talk to him over there in 60 Minutes, so it should be interesting. Actress Mary McDonnell is 57 years old today. Actress Bridget Moynihan celebrates her 39th birthday. Jorge Garcia from Lost, who plays Hurley on that show, is 37 years old today. Jorge has been enjoying the benefits of being able to buy any food that he wants, I think.
Bounty?
The bounty of edibles that have come his way since joining the cast of Lost.
Aww.
Because this season, Jorge is a pig.
He did not lose as much weight on the island as perhaps Tom Hanks did in Castaway.
No. Penelope Cruz is 36 years old today, and actress Jessica Alba.
Oh, my God.
Celebrates her
20th. Don't break your bell.
That's what she said. Celebrates her 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. I think we can all agree that these are very dark days for Loveline, a show that has been on the air for 25 years. It's had some fantastic co-hosts along with Dr. Drew. Probably the glory years for me would be Adam Carolla when he was sitting in that chair. I mean, that was when the Loveline was probably its best.
Yeah.
Stryker was good. Ricky Rackman used to be the host, and now they're settling. I mean, I think we can all agree. Now at this point, they're just like, just put a warm body in the chair.
Well, they've run out. Obviously.
They've run out of good people, so they got Psycho Mike doing
it,
right?
Oh, no, I mean, I admit, I'm the guy in front of Home Depot who you go to when the person you wanted to, you know, respackle your walls or put up your roof, you know, wasn't available. You go to Home Depot, and there's a guy in front,
walls,
and you're like, all right,
he
here you go.
He does it every day. What, are you kidding me?
I want him spackling our walls.
Yeah, Mike's doing plenty of spackling around here. But in the few weeks that Psycho Mike has been co-hosting with Dr. Drew, some interesting things have happened, not the least of which was last week you had Miss Courtney Love in studio with you for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And this story will lead us to last night's David Letterman, where Psycho Mike got a shout-out on the show, and you'll hear the audio from the program here in a minute. Now, Courtney has been away for a while. She made a lot of, you know, made a lot of noise for a number of years and then kind of quietly left the public scene for a while. But now she's back because she's got a new record in stores yesterday called Nobody's Daughter. And she seems to be very, very much at a crossroads, Psycho Mike. You spent some time with her. She seems like she's trying really hard to grow up, and it's really difficult for her.
Yes. I think both statements are totally true. She's at a point where she's desperately trying to recreate the image of her as a viable media personality, like she did around the time of The People versus Larry Flynt.
Well, more than media personality, I think she's trying to reclaim some sort of musical integrity, right? With this new album and
her
and with
solo
her new
album.
Band and everything else.
Very good point, Ralph. And her solo album, which has been her only musical effort in 12 years since the last whole album, her Courtney Love album, was a disaster.
Right.
And she's the first to admit it. So,
and I got to tell you, I'm really surprised with the maturity that she's showing. For instance, I mean, she's basically being baited by Billy Corgan right now about using some of the songs on this new record that they wrote together years ago. And she's not having any of it. The old Courtney would have really jumped in with both feet and turned that into a fight. And she's pretty much just taking the high road saying, hey, I love you, Billy, and thanks for working with me. I mean, she's not being dragged down like she used to so easily.
Well, largely now, this has to do with her substance abuse problems that she's been fighting over the years, right, regarding how in control or not she has been.
And she's made a conscious effort to be open about that now as she's doing press for this record. She's going to just talk about the fact that she has gone through some dark times with substance abuse. She's clean now, and she's ready to use that to her advantage and make herself a rock star again.
This tape that we're about to hear from last night's David Letterman show, they make reference to something called the Letterman years. Where did that come from?
Well, I was talking about that with her when she was on Loveline, as I kind of deemed her darkest days as the Letterman years, because last time she was on Letterman was about 5-6 years ago when she got on the table. She was rambling incoherently. She got on his desk, took her top off.
Right.
It was a big big hullabaloo at CBS, and so I called them on the show her the Letterman years as the dark years, and that's kind of
because that was the beginning of a spiral for her.
Right
after she made that appearance, she got arrested that same night apparently, and from that point on, she had some serious drug issues.
It was really the landmark event within her darkest days. So
well, she brought that up on the Letterman appearance last night. We'll just hear a minute or a little more of the tape here, but you can see the whole interview with Courtney Love talking to David Letterman last night at KevinandBean.com. It is on the front page of KevinandBean.com. But here they are picking up the conversation about that night when she got on the desk 6 years ago.
So there must have been, you seem fine. Are you fine?
I am totally clean and sober and fine. So.
And was there a moment when a person has a problem like this, we hear something very dramatic, oh, well, they've got to hit bottom. There has to be an intervention. Did any of this happen for you?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And what would you describe as being bottom?
Your desk.
Really?
I'm scared of it. But there's also some thrall to it. There is a pull.
Right. So you got up here and you took your...
I took off my top because Drew Barrymore had done it when she was 19, and I was so out of my mind. I thought that I was 19 and I was actually 39.
Right.
So it was just a different time.
Right. But from my point of view, I enjoyed it.
By the way, there are very few people in America who have not yet seen Courtney Love's boobs. I mean, you're not in a select group.
There's very few people who have enjoyed it, too, by the way.
That's a good point.
In the horn section. I don't want to be what they call an enabler, but I, you know, everything seemed like you were at the top of your game to me.
I appreciate that so much. Because when you Google me, it's the first thing that comes up.
Well, why not?
The letter.
I mean, honestly, why wouldn't it be? I didn't realize things had been so god-awful. I'm terribly sorry.
Well, don't worry about it.
Well, I feel, and also the fact that...
I had fun in the moment, to be honest with you.
Well, I had a nice time. But the idea that it was... The Letterman years, that kind of makes me feel like, well, he did it,
no,
get him.
No, you didn't. It was dubbed that by a guy on a West Coast radio station named Psycho Mike. So do we really want to trust
it's not the Psycho Mike years, it's the Letterman years.
Yeah, it's
Psycho Mike is clean in this deal.
It has nothing to do with you. That is awesome.
Yeah. And you know, by the way,
Psycho
Dave
Mike.
Has just got to be shaking his head going, there's a DJ out there in 2010 calling himself Psycho Mike. What a tool.
Some morning Yahoo. How dare he even mention my name?
Hey, it's the Chuckles and Gopher Show.
Yeah, and I'm pretty positive that 15 seconds after this show aired and Dave went back to his dressing room, he completely forgot he even had that conversation. And I'm aware of that.
No, but I think he still thinks about you, Mike.
No.
No, I think there's a chance that happened.
I'm sure he forgot about Courtney Love even being on the show. He's moved on. But the fact that David Letterman says your name on his show. It
that's
blows
amazing.
Your mind. I mean, you can't even wrap your head around it.
I'm sure.
So
pretty cool.
Anyway,
you can see the whole interview at KevinandBean.com, and Psycho Mike will be leaving us and moving on to the Weenie in the Butt program starting Monday. So look forward to that.
I'm thinking about
the
me picking
Weenie in the Butt program.
No. And.
Oh.
I've been weighing all my options, Bean. I think I'm going with Meat Pick in the Bong. They've really got the best contract for me.
I hope you guys are all very happy together. Thank you. That just happened.
All right.
Modest Yahoo on 106.7 K-Rock, the world famous K-Rock. It is 6:24. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. The new one from STP will cleanse the palate. Coming up next, it's called Between the Lines. Stick around for that. All right. Amy Winehouse. Amy Winehouse. Her last record, by the way, the one that got her all the fame, the Back to Black, I guess it was called, 2006, ladies and gentlemen. So we've been waiting some time for a follow-up. There's been tons of Amy Winehouse news. Generally, it's not very good. It involves drugs or rehab, no pun intended, or jail, or in this case, falling down and getting an owie. So let's find out what's going on with Amy Winehouse. We've got her on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Amy.
Oi, how you doing?
Doing fine. How are you feeling? I heard you got hurt.
You know, here's the thing about the media, right? Is that
they
have to overblow everything. Like, you know, it's a small story and they have to blow it way out of proportion. And, you know, I'm tired of all the blowing. Stop it with the blowing. I like blow, but I do not enjoy the blowing.
I understand, right. So you did not have to go to the hospital to get treated for bruised ribs and a cut above your eye?
Maybe.
Okay, so that did happen.
Look, people fall all the time, and it's not like front page news. But when I do it, then suddenly it's, Amy's got a problem. It's sometimes you trip over a roller skate or a chia pet
or
yes.
an iguana. So anything, and it's in the road, you trip over it. You can't be in total control of that.
Do you have either a chia pet or an iguana in your apartment, Amy?
Of course not. No one has them. But still, I'm just saying that you never...
Are you all right?
Yeah.
What I'm happened? All right.
I tripped over my cocaine.
How much cocaine must there be to trip over it?
How much can a small apartment hold?
That's a lot of cocaine.
That much.
Look, I understand that people do fall, of course. Rarely does it end them up in the hospital. But I think when people see that it involves you, they think, well, maybe she was high or maybe she was drunk. Maybe she's, see, you know, maybe she's in trouble.
Yeah, that's where people's minds go. But it's not that way. I was not high or drunk.
Okay.
I was huffing.
You were huffing.
No one thinks about huffing, do they? No.
Nope, didn't.
No one thinks of the cheap, high, quick death of huffing.
But I don't think huffing is going to make things better for you either, Amy. I think you need to start getting healthier.
It couldn't make things worse. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's right.
Taking a big aerosol can of some sort of industrial solvent and just blowing it up your nose.
Sure. Sounds like fun. Hey, how are those new boobs holding up? Any danger of them getting punctured or anything with all the falling?
No, that was the only thing to save my life, they said. They said that my breast implants served as a sort of cushioning device. And when I went down, how dare you, first of all, I hit my boobs and I literally bounced back up.
Oh, good for you. That's great. I'm glad to hear that.
It was a lucky break for everyone, especially me and Cecil. Sydney.
I believe it's Blake. I think your first name is Blake.
Blake, that's it. I love him.
And you guys are back together and happy. Everything's good on that front.
Yes. I couldn't be happier than if I was standing next to a giant pile of beer bottles.
Oh.
That hurt.
You okay?
Oh, whoa! I'm good.
Amy?
No, not Sydney. Move along.
Oh, my God. Why is your apartment an obstacle course? All right, that doesn't sound good. Amy?
Oh, that stain's not coming out.
Tom Petty, everybody. Tom Petty here on the world-famous K-Rock.
STP on 106.7 KROQ. It is 6:35. It's kind of weird how good Stone Temple Pilots are again, huh? It's been a long time.
Sounds
first new album in 10 years of all new material. It's coming out at the end of May, and that is their new song, Between the Lines, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, why haven't you seen Iron Man 2 yet? Doesn't that make you somewhat of a failure?
Yes, but I am going to see it next week at the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening that we're going to.
Okay.
So I will see it.
We're going to load up the audience with some people who are equally as excited about Iron Man 2 as you are. 1-800-520-1067. Time to play Kevin and Bean's Movie Palooza.
It's time for Movie Palooza.
What movie is that clip from?
You'll go see Iron Man 2.
Palooza, Palooza, Palooza.
This is Movie Palooza.
Now it's time to play the effing game.
Time to play the effing game.
Iron Man 2?
Yeah.
Palooza,
Palooza and Tua.
Oh, Omar's gone bye-bye. Before we go to the calls, Ralph, and you explain how the game is played, how awesome is Robert Downey Jr., and what a stroke of genius it was to cast him as Iron Man?
Yes, he is always good. Even in his most drug-addled, confused years, he has always been an actor that is fascinating to watch on the screen. And I think Favreau recognized that this is a guy who, well, first of all, the Iron Man character is a former alcoholic. Tony Stark in the comic books is an alcoholic who kind of comes through the other side and becomes this Iron Man character. And I think he recognized that Downey had the charm and the charisma plus the backstory to really flesh out this character. And I think they made an excellent choice.
And Downey has done some fantastic movies in his long, long career. What are we going to be playing today? How's this going to work?
Movie Palooza works like this. I'll be playing a clip for you from a Robert Downey Jr. movie. You need to listen carefully and then just identify the film. So I'm hoping that we've got some real Robert Downey Jr. fans in the listenership who's calling in, because the thing is, Robert Downey Jr. has made a lot of movies, some very good movies, not all of them a lot of big hits. He's just recently started having the big hits. There are some lesser-known films
that he's been in. So if you're really a Robert Downey Jr. fan, I think you'll recognize most of these clues.
Okay. All right, we'll take them in order. Psycho Mike, starting with Jamie on line one. We'll only have time to play the clip for you once, so definitely listen up. It's a Robert Downey movie, and all you have to do is give us the title of it, and you'll win tickets for Iron Man 2. Hey, Jamie, you ready to play?
Yeah, what's going on, party people?
All right, hey, Jamie, listen up carefully. This is a clip from a Robert Downey Jr. movie. We need you to identify it, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
I know who I am! I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude!
Tropic Thunder.
Very good answer.
There you go. That's how it's done. Well done. All right.
That was one of his big hits after the Iron Man, the first Iron Man movie, of course. Some of these not quite so easy.
Tuesday at the Arclight in Hollywood, you'll be seeing Iron Man 2. Next up is Eric on line two. Yeah, Eric. Welcome to the show. You ready to play?
Yeah, we'll do it.
Eric, you a big Robert Downey Jr. fan?
Absolutely.
All right, take a listen to this. One of his earlier films, see if you can identify it.
All right.
You conned your way through rehab. You lied. You stole. And look what you've done to our family.
I know, but why don't you just give me a break? I just need you to be my father for one goddamn day. Just help me.
Ooh.
I got no idea.
Oh. It's a great, great film called Less Than Zero.
Yeah. That was it. All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah,
thank you for calling. Thank you for playing. Very very 80s, that movie, but still holds up.
One of the great drug movies of all time.
Yep. Absolutely.
Either makes you want to do drugs after you watch it, or never do drugs again.
Well, if you watch the whole movie, you don't want to do it.
Yeah, not a happy ending. Yeah. Chris is on line three. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right, here's a clip for your Robert Downey Jr. movie.
As you've already said, Mr. Hoover, motion pictures are for the people. Most of the people work for a living and they don't make much money doing it. Gives them pleasure to see officialdom and the upper classes giving you a kick up the backside.
All right, maybe the accent is a clue. What do you think there, Chris?
Was it Charlie Chaplin?
Chaplin
it is.
Good
story
job.
Story Charlie Chaplin. Well done. He was nominated for an Oscar for that movie.
He sure was great in it. Let's try, next up is, where are we? Jeremy?
Jeremy?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Jeremy, hi, welcome to the show. Ready to play?
Hey, Jeremy, here's your Robert Downey Jr. movie clip.
Sir, case closed. Which makes this a social visit?
No, it's a you're in over your head Irene visit. Whoever killed Reardon was covering their tracks, which makes you the next loose end to be snipped.
Oh, another accent. What do you think?
Whoa.
Right, don't use that language. But you're right.
Sherlock Holmes.
Hey,
I didn't think it was going to get
nice last-minute grab. Well done. You're
kidding.
Going.
Wow. All right. Looking for Robert Downey Jr. movies. Line five is going to be Joe. Joe, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play?
Hey, what's up, party people?
Joe, here's your clip. Another accent coming from Robert Downey Jr.
Please explain to me, where's the purity that you couldn't live without in the 52 people who are no longer on this planet because they met you and Mallory? What's that f***ing pure about that? How do you do it?
Oh, great.
It's way honked up, if that's a clue that'll help you.
Famous character name he dropped in there, too, though.
Yeah, that's why I put that in there. One of his earlier films.
Robert Downey Jr., what do you think?
I'm going to guess. I'm not going to guess. The Wonder Boys?
No. No, I'm sorry. Natural Born Killers.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he played the Australian interviewer in that movie throughout that film. Did a great job.
Thanks for the call. We got time for a couple more. Let's try Jake on line six. Hi, Jake. Welcome to the show. Ready to play?
All right, Jake, here we go. Good here's luck. Your clip of your Robert Downey Jr. movie.
Do you know that more people die in the East Bay commute every 3 months than that idiot ever killed? He offed a few citizens, he wrote a few letters, and he faded into footnote.
Playing another journalist this time?
I got nothing. Kiss, kiss, bang, bang.
No, sir. Zodiac.
Yeah.
Another good movie, too, by
Zodiac,
the way. Zodiac.
Great movie. Jake Gyllenhaal co-starred with him in that. Great film.
All right. We got one more. Iron Man 2 tickets up for grabs. Let's see if Tony can catch him. Hey, Tony, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready?
Yep.
All right, Tony, here is your Robert Downey Jr. movie. Another early, early film for Robert Downey Jr. So put on your way back thinking cap.
Oh! This will cheer you up. Oh, do me!
Derek, get up, will you? You look like the poster boy for birth control.
Back to school.
Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah!
Well done.
Woo!
That was a tough one.
Well done indeed. Have fun at Iron Man 2. Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Movie Palooza.
This is Movie Palooza. Thanks for playing our little game.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Woo!
Yes.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 6:51. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. I apologize again for my voice today. I hoped that I would be feeling better, and I apologize if it's annoying to listen to. I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah, I think it's sexy.
It's getting sick of Mike.
Give me a little arousal.
The beautiful Kat Von D is going to be joining us on the program coming up later on today. Plus, we'll tell you how Lisa May got scammed while on vacation in New York. It's very, very sad.
Is that a euphemism?
Being scammed? Unfortunately, this time she really did get scammed. I mean, we thought the Nigerian prince would meet her at that hotel. It didn't happen. But we'll hear the whole story coming up and find out how you've been scanned in the next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph has the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Speaking of Lisa May.
What?
Did you go see American Idiot when you were in New York? Broadway play, you know.
It opened the week I was there.
Green Day's new Broadway musical, American Idiot.
Yeah, if I wanted to pay $600, I could have gone.
It's a small price to pay. For Green Day's American Idiot, Lisa.
For love.
Yeah.
Right. Isn't it a large price to pay, really, though?
Yeah, it's true. It is kind of a large price to pay. It opened last week, as Lisa May mentioned. Those who did go, unlike Lisa, were treated to a little special treat at the end of the show. Green Day got up on stage.
Oh, how cool.
Played two songs at the end of the show. The show's title track, of course, American Idiot and Basket Case. Billy Joe Armstrong told the audience, "This is my first night on Broadway." The musical opened to good reviews, by the way.
I've heard great things about it.
Apparently, it's going to do very well.
Yeah.
Congratulations to those guys. Sandra Bullock is finally starting to speak about her relationship with Jesse James and the other changes in her life. She is on the cover of this week's People magazine, which will be on newsstands on Friday. The surprise to everyone is, however, not that she is divorcing Jesse James. She has indeed filed for divorce, but the fact that she is maybe the best secret keeper in all of Hollywood. For 4 years now, she's been in the process of adopting a 3.5-month-old baby boy named Louis.
Huh?
And on the cover of the magazine, she is holding Louis Bardot Bullock, who apparently she met in New Orleans and fell in love with. She said she heard What a Wonderful World, the Louis Armstrong song, in her head when she saw him, and that's why she named him Louis.
Hmm.
And it's not because he's black. Even though Louis Armstrong was also black.
That's right.
Just saying, there's no connection.
She just wanted a man in her house that wasn't going to cheat on her with a Nazi.
How dare you, sir?
He looks like Billy Dee Williams.
He is. He's got like a Jerry Curl thing going on. Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, handsome guy. I'm just saying.
They say this is a result of a 4-year adoption process. The baby is 3.5 months old.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too.
Did she just say, all right, once I'm ready, once you get the paperwork done, whatever you got, I'm just going to pick from that.
Whoever's next.
Well, yeah. You know, in the States, when you want a newborn,
it's very difficult.
It's a long wait.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people go shopping in Africa.
Right.
Cheaper over there. Easier to get the babies.
Mm-hmm.
Just got them on baby trees over there in the plains.
They grow on trees?
Yeah, you just pluck them right off.
Wow.
It's good over there. Land of milk and honey. Speaking of babies, Matt Damon and his wife, Luciana, are heading back to the maternity ward. They announced to Us Weekly that everyone in the family is very excited about the upcoming new addition to their family.
They're a new addition?
Oh, Gilligan. They've already got 11-year-old Alexia from a prior relationship that Luciana had, and the couple has two toddler girls of their own, Isabella, who's 3, and Gia, who's 21 months old. So congratulations.
That's too many kids.
No, it's not.
4?
Not when you can afford them.
Yeah.
You have as many as you want when you got that kind of coin.
I agree. He's got
born money.
I'm from the camp of, you know, you should really watch how many kids you have and blah, 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 blah. But if you have FU money, I encourage you, because it's better you than the guy who's cooking meth in his bathtub, which is usually the way it ends up.
I agree.
But it doesn't balance out that way.
You got to counter
like
the octomom.
Not have kids.
No, you're right.
No, but you raise an army of good to take on the army of evil.
Correct.
That's what you have to do.
These kids really
raising
stand a chance.
Armies.
You're getting
an arms race. You have to stay neck and neck with the evil empire.
No matter how many kids Matt Damon has with his lovely wife, they stand a good chance. That's what I'm saying.
Well, those people they'll probably grow up to be good people, which we need more of in the world to counter all the douchebags that are being born all over.
Okay,
I agree, and I know some people really just love having a baby around the house. But if you already have a 4-year-old and a 21-month-old, I can't imagine you're really excited about another one. But
I'm saying you're wrong. They're very excited.
Yeah, apparently I am.
And they have a full staff to raise those children, so they get all the best of it, and the very little of the least of it.
And his genetics with her genetics will probably make a hot chick, which is cool.
Yes, Psycho Mike, that's what's cool. That's what's cool about it. Kevin James. This
Hot
is another example. Kevin James. He's got kids. So if Kevin James is having kids,
yeah, you're right.
You need like the Matt Damon of the world to have kids, because we don't want a bunch of little Kevin Jameses running around.
Kevin James, if there's anyone funnier than Kevin James, I want name.
Ralph Garman.
Especially when I give you the latest news. This comes to us from Daily Variety. Kevin James, who, by the way, Paul Bart Mall Cop made $146 million last year. Just want you to keep that in mind.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So he's having no trouble putting together his latest film deal for the movie Zookeeper. Zookeeper stars Kevin as a lonely single zoo employee.
On a Segway?
Who gets advice from all the animals at the zoo, Lisa. The animals will be talking to him, giving him advice on how to find a mate. Adam Sandler, Sylvester Stallone, Cher, and Jon Favreau star as the voices of the animals.
Does his name rhyme with some comedy kick word? Like, is he Jim Zenas, Zookeeper, or something?
No. He's Steve Vagina. Daily Variety says Kevin also will be reteaming with Adam Sandler in a film called Grown Ups, which also stars Chris Rock and David Spade.
What do you bet they don't act like grown-ups?
Adam Sandler, Kevin James, and David Spade in the same movie. A comedy black hole is going to suck us all in.
That Zookeeper movie sounds almost bad enough to be Eddie Murphy's.
Yeah. Speaking of bad and talking animals, which I'm really just had an ass full of, have you seen this furry creatures thing? Or what's it? Furry?
No.
Furry yes. Revenge.
Furry Revenge or furry?
Opens up Friday. Yeah.
With Brendan Fraser. He plays a land developer,
again.
And he's taken over, and the animals revolt, and they all start attacking him, and they're all, like, smart, and they talk and
I
stuff.
I like him so much. Why won't he make a good movie?
Why does he make this crap?
Free Vengeance? Something like that.
Free Vengeance. I think that may be it, yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tonight's show host Jay Leno is 60 years old.
Happy birthday.
Mary McDonnell is 57 years old today. She was the president in Battlestar Galactica. That's where you may know her from.
That's great.
She was also Stands with Fist.
I don't think that was it.
Yeah, she was Stands with Fist in Dancing with the Wolves.
There you go.
Dances with Wolves, the Kevin Costner movie. She sits on Fist.
I think
it was called. Stands with Fist. I think it was Stands with Fist.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right.
Anyway, she's 57 years old today. Kim Gordon, singer bassist for Sonic Youth, is 57 as well. Bridget Moynihan turns 39. Penelope Cruz is 36. Jessica Alba is 29. And to complete our list of smoking hot super babes, Jorge Garcia celebrates his 37th birthday today. Well, look, one bad apple. Don't spoil the whole bunch, girl. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Eric writes in. Yeah, Eric. Kevin and Bean, I don't get it. Why don't you guys like Kevin James? King of Queens was a great show, he says. He explains.
Please turn off your radio and no longer listen to us.
I don't want him to do that, but I don't think we have enough common ground to continue negotiations with Kevin and Bean listener Eric.
We don't negotiate with comedy terrorists. That's why.
Yeah, Eric.
So we can't help you, Eric, but thank you very much for emailing anyway. All right, let's talk about our beautiful Lisa May, who was on vacation last week, went to New York and Boston.
Yes.
And it sounds like, from what little I've heard, Lisa, and I know you've been saving your voice because you've been sick as well, that you had a great vacation.
I did. I've never been to Boston, and it was beautiful. I mean, the weather was rough. It was cold and rainy almost the whole time we were there. But yeah,
winter into spring in the eastern seaboard.
Yeah, and apparently the week before it had been really warm and sunny, and so all the tulips were blooming in the common. And it was really gorgeous.
Tulips.
I know.
But there was one black mark on your vacation.
Why the mark got to be black?
Took the train from Boston to New York and wanted to take the subway, right? So we went in the wrong way, I think, because you know
that's not the first time.
I didn't realize that when there's those round green balls, that means it's an entrance, and the red ones means it's an exit for a subway. I think I didn't know that.
Green is go, red is stop.
I mean, I've forgotten that. I forgot. Whatever. So we go in the exit, and we get down there, and we're trying to buy, because now it's cards. It's not tokens anymore. The cards you slide through. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to buy a card, and there's a guy there, and he says, oh, don't do it. The machines don't work. I've got the cards here. I'll just let you in. And he opens up the gate that lets you into the subway system.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me $8 for the two cards. That's what they cost, because these machines are broken.
Right.
Okay,
and
let me stop you right there.
We're trying to get them fixed.
Let me stop you right there. Is he wearing a uniform as if he were a transit employee?
No. He doesn't have a, he doesn't even have a clipboard. But what he has is a fistful of these cards and the key that lets you into the gate.
Wow, he's got a key.
Where'd
he
get
be
the
official.
Keys, right? Who gave him the keys? So we're like, okay.
Wow, are you a sucker?
So, yeah, total sucker. So we go in. We did get that ride for free. But then, of course, when we tried to use the cards to come back, they didn't work.
No, because those cards, you have to load them up. They're they're like debit cards. You know, you have to put a certain amount of money per each ride on there to use them.
Exactly.
You can't just take, he probably just had a stack of blanks and he was just selling blanks.
He had
blanks.
Quite the stack of blanks. Yeah. And, yeah. And, I mean, we felt stupid. It was $8. It wasn't a big deal.
The fact that he was
wearing
lederhosen, wasn't that a giveaway that maybe he wasn't an official MTA guy?
Yeah, we felt kind of stupid.
By the way, the the machine is broken. Here I can help you is a scam that has been very popular in a lot of ways, and I have heard many stories of people who have fallen that when they go to their bank's ATM and there's a sign on it that says machine is broken, and then there's a guy standing by. Sometimes he's got a van. Sometimes he's just literally working out of his pockets.
I'll make your deposit for you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, a lot of times, especially in a situation like that where you worked on completely familiar ground, it was plausible that the guy was legit. I mean, you had a reasonable expectation that you weren't being ripped off.
It was
I can understand why something like that
happened. That's what convinced
me. I also like that in the digital age, all you need to pass Lisa May's sniff test is a clipboard. That's all you really need.
Well, usually, that's what we've talked about that before. If you have a clipboard, people will believe you. He didn't even have a clipboard.
Oh, no clipboard.
Right, yeah. You still fell for it.
I still
but,
did.
But we want to take some calls, and I know that it might be slightly embarrassing, but it has happened to most people where they have fallen for something that, sure, after the fact, you go, how could I be so dumb? Why didn't I see that that was likely to be a scam? But there are so many people out there trying to scam you all the time. I mean, you're lucky if you haven't run into one at one time or another. So we definitely want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you have been scammed, especially in a creative way. I'd like to hear about that. How about you guys? Mike, Ralph, have you had a situation like that where you've been scammed?
I was trying to think as I knew we were going to talk about this. I don't believe I've ever been conned by anybody. I think I've been pretty lucky.
The closest I've come is the card guys on the streets of New York City. You know, sometimes
three card money guys.
Yeah, the three card money or hide the ball. Those type of guys.
Right.
I've had a guy run me up for $30 or $40, which is considerable for that game. But that's the closest.
Oh, you're
I've
a perfect sucker for that kind of con because you're so arrogant. You think obviously you'd be able to find
and
that
competitive,
card.
Yeah,
and
exactly,
competitive.
Yeah.
So you go time and time and time again to prove that he's wrong.
And then the guy starts talking S to me. And I'm like, what? Here's $5 more. I dare you.
Yeah, you're a mark.
I do remember we talked to a listener on the air a couple of years ago who had showed up to rent an apartment that he had seen advertised on Craigslist, and he gave the guy a security deposit, and it turned out that this guy was collecting security deposits from lots of people, and he didn't even own the house. He had broken into somebody's house that he knew was going to be on vacation for a couple of weeks and used that as his home base and rented it out multiple times. That's pretty creative.
That's genius.
Well, didn't we get some emails from people at Coachella? In fact, I remember one from a mom who said, can you do anything for my son who is in his car at Coachella with a ticket that, as it turns out, is not real?
Yes.
Apparently what had happened was this past Coachella, everything was really based on wristbands, not tickets. And someone either got a hold of the exact machine and presses that they used to make the real wristbands, or got a really good copy and made hundreds of phony wristbands, and those hit Craigslist, and it was unfortunate, but there's a lot of people stuck outside the campgrounds.
Oh, that would suck.
We went to take a lot calls of money to find out how you were scammed at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Christine real quick before we break, and then we'll come back and talk to everybody else because it serves a twofold purpose. One is, we love it because we get to laugh and make fun of you for falling for it. And two is, who knows, maybe it's good advice that will prevent somebody else from being scammed in the future for the same thing. Hi, Christine. Thank you for calling. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened to you?
I was going with a girlfriend to the L.A. Pride Parade, and on Santa Monica, it's a misery to park. I was like 16, 17 years old, and so there was a guy standing with a big sign in a parking lot. It was like a strip mall. So I pulled in. He had a sign that said, $5, $10, whatever, paid him the money, parked my car, went to the parade. After we were done, my car was towed. There was no sign, no guy there. My dad, I lived in Cerritos at the time, my dad had to come pay for the tow, which was like $250.
Wow.
I literally considered hooking. Like, what could I do to get the money out?
That is, that's brilliant, by the way. It doesn't seem like it would take that much for a guy just to stand in any parking lot, let you park there, take the money, and then he just hightails it before there's any problem.
That's legitimate because that's what the real parking lot guys do. They hold up a cardboard sign and tells you how much it is, and they got a flashlight and they wave you in.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, when you look back on that, Christine, you're not going to be like a lot of the other people we talked to. I mean, really, there was no way for you to know that that was a scam, right?
Well, other than the fact that it was a really busy parking lot on Santa Monica Boulevard, I didn't get a ticket, and why else would they allow for paid parking there? I mean, really, it was a strip mall that had a big grocery store on it in Santa Monica.
Right, yeah. Hey, I'm going to give you a pass because you were probably a very hot 17-year-old lesbian going down to the Pride Parade. So, seriously, you didn't make any mistake as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I wasn't even a lesbian. I was just a lot of fun. How about that?
Yeah. How about that? Well done. Potty. All right. Thank you, Christine. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. How did you get scammed? We want to talk to you coming up next right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of good people out there. Some bad. You occasionally do get scammed. Those are the stories we're talking about. Lisa May got scammed on vacation in New York last week. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Here's Hector's email. It didn't happen to me, but I used to work for a finance company. There was a guy that sold his Porsche to someone. The person gave our customer $2,500 cash and mailed a check for the balance, which was about $40,000. Well, the check that the con artist sent in for our customer bounced. The customer had already given the car up, so the customer was carless and had an account that was past due because he thought it was now paid off. Hector.
Oh. That sucks.
That's a bad surprise right there.
Yeah.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try John. He is on line 7 calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, John. Thanks for holding on. What happened to you, man?
Hey, party people. Hey, Kelly.
Hi.
long story short, I was Christmas shopping many, many years ago. Guy hit me up in a parking lot selling some laptops. Had a real laptop on display. Paid $450. They gave me the box right then and there. Xerox copy, all the details on it. As I got the box in my hand, I went to open it to look at my great deal on the laptop that I just bought.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Crashing tires, they haul ass out of the parking lot, opened it up, phone book.
Oh, dude.
Oh, man. $460, that's what you paid?
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts.
I was like, what a deal, man.
So, the moral of the story, don't buy a laptop out of a guy's car. Go ahead and go into a retail store. Is that what you're suggesting, maybe?
That's learning has,
fantastic.
Learning has occurred.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Brandon, line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Brandon. Thanks for calling in. What happened to you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi.
When I was driving down Sunset Boulevard, and I smelled some really good marijuana from the car next to me. And basically the guys told me, you know, pull over if you want to buy some. So I pull over, and they had a lot of good weed, you know. And basically they said, yeah, you want to buy some. So I bought, an eighth, which is $45 worth. And a few days later, my buddy ended up needing a pound. So I said, yeah, I got some guys with good prices, and I give them a call. They come and meet me in a parking lot. And we're in our car, and they're in their Expedition. And basically, he rolls down the window and shows us. And my buddy kind of gave him the nod, and he told us to pop the trunk. So then he just threw all this pot in the trunk. My buddy gave him a shoebox with $4,000 in it, and the guy literally peeled off. So as soon as we get in the car and we open up this bag, this duffel bag, there's nothing but boiled together like oregano and rabbit food. And
dude. So they scammed you by showing you a small quantity of good weed, and then when you thought you were buying the large quantity, that was where it turned fake.
Exactly. And then when we had met up, they were smoking the good weed in the car with a blunt, so I could smell all this good weed coming out of their car, and I'm like, yeah, that's the stuff we're getting. And
they were good.
And ultimately, my buddy thought I ended up putting it all together and setting it up and robbing them for $4,000.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, dude.
A bad situation.
That's not cool. You don't con fellow pot smokers. That's just not cool. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Henry, line 3. I bet he's not the only one listening who's fallen victim to this prank. Hi, Henry. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Henry.
Yeah, I actually got scammed for a Vegas package. Some guy came up to me in the parking lot, $100, gave him $100. Kept calling to see if it was for real. Number was disconnected.
Yeah, I bet that does happen all the time.
So, in other words, they were selling you, they were telling you were buying what? A trip, airfare, hotel, the whole deal?
Exactly. Well, not the airfare. Oh, it wasn't like that, but it was a hotel, buffet, mm-hmm. a free show, and then VIP to a club at the Wynn. I believe it was the Encore. And,
gotcha.
I was stoked out, and I was like, yeah, let's party, bragging about it.
Yeah, things will stay.
Understood. Thank you for the call. Speaking of Las Vegas, let's try Kelly on line two. Kelly has another Las Vegas scam. This is one I've heard about, too. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Vegas, and guy in the street office to sell me some VIP passes to some of the latest hot nightclubs. I'm like, all right, sweet. So there's three of us girls. We each think, you know, $10 is fair. The guy's doing us a favor. And so the guy gets away with $30, and we get the same VIP passes that your hotel concierge will give you for free.
Oh, dude.
Ouch. Wow. Thank you for the call. Let's try Brandon. Now we're getting to some big money here. Brandon is on line one. This is a scam, my friends. Hi, Brandon. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
And the worst part of it is that it wasn't even mine. So me and a buddy start up a business, and fresh out of the gate, we say it's an aftermarket cars business. We say we're going to try to bring people stuff that they can't find. So we decide we're going to import a bunch of European OEM headlights for Volkswagens out there, and we're going to bring over about 15 sets, and they cost about $1,000 a piece. So it totals, finally find a vendor in Germany that's going to sell us $16,000 worth of headlights. We go back and forth. We're all psyched about it. We're posting on the internet. We already have some of them even, you know, pre-spoken for.
Mm-hmm.
So we wire transfer $16,000, and that's the last I've heard of it.
Oh, my God. Dude.
Hey, that's tough when you're doing business like that. I mean, you do. There is a certain amount of trust that you have to put in the people that you're working with, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess the rest of the story is that, I mean, we basically found out that the guy lives in a farm somewhere in Germany, and I think basically his business was in trouble anyways, and he just took it as a one last hurrah.
Right.
And,
how about that?
I've been getting junk for that ever since then. There's no reason for me. There's
exactly.
No reason for me because of $16,000 that went missing.
Thanks for the call. Let's do one more. This is going to be Chris on line five, and I want to close with him because he's the scammer. So we're getting a different perspective here. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. What'd you do, dude?
Good morning, you guys. You see, this is in middle school,
mm-hmm.
and we all had a final to do. So a lot of people didn't want to do it, and, you know, everybody was iffy about it. So I charged, let's see, about 200 students. I told them, give me $20 and I'll do the essay for you. And they all paid me first. And then on the day of the final, I gave them all essays and they were all the same one.
Yay!
Awesome.
Oh, my God.
So they all ended up failing.
How did you not get killed?
I got lucky.
First off, yeah. They deserve what they get because I've listened to Chris talk for 30 seconds, and I'd rather have Miss Cleo write me a paper.
Yeah, he would not be my choice to go to get me an A, that's for sure. But Lisa's right. Once it was revealed that you had given the same paper to everybody, how did they not beat the crap out of you after that class?
Because it was the last day of school.
Oh, dude.
So
wow.
I turned in my final before everybody else, and then I didn't show up for the last half of school.
That's hilarious. That's very funny. All right, man. Thank you very much for the call. That was probably the last really smart thing he did, but he's still very impressive. How about some Blink 182 on the way? Also Muse and a little band called Nirvana coming up on the Kevin Amin Show. Ralph has the Showbiz Beat in minutes, and Kat Von D joins us in about 20.
As well. I think you're talking about Kat Von D.
I do love her so much, and I now sound exactly like her, so that should be an interesting telephone conversation.
Except for me.
Yeah, I'm playing you off, psycho man.
All right, except for playing us off, Ralph. Why is today so exciting for you because of who's on the phone?
Damn you, Sharktopus!
You know, I've been excited about this film since I heard about the fact that Sci-Fi Channel was going to be making a movie about a half shark, half octopus, a giant half shark, half octopus that terrorizes, I don't know, a local fishing village or something. I don't know who they're terrorizing, but it's terrible, and it's terrible. And I've been excited about this film ever since I heard it. And then I heard that it was going to be directed by the same man who directed one of my favorite all-time movies, Monster Ark.
Oh, yeah.
About Noah's second ark that held a demon inside of it that gets released.
I never knew about that.
Oh, Monster Ark is so cool. And so once I heard that he was going to be in charge of it, I knew that Sharktopus was in good hands. He is a director, writer, producer, renaissance man, Declan O'Brien. Good morning, Declan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing very well, sir. Can't tell you how excited I am about Sharktopus. Well, you know. You've heard.
Well, I like that you said it was not only a shark octopus, but a giant shark octopus.
Yeah, because a regular shark octopus wouldn't be nearly as dangerous.
You know, that's Discovery Channel.
That's
right. We're here at Sci-Fi, so it's a giant shark octopus.
Now, what I didn't realize, Ralph was talking about the fishing village or whatever the sharktopus is going after. What I didn't realize until the paperwork I saw this morning, Mr. O'Brien, is that the U.S. Navy is actually creating the sharktopus and sending it out to do its bid in waters where it's not allowed to travel, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. It is the U.S. Navy. It's its new weapon of mass octopi destruction.
Yeah,
like that.
Would you say it's a government experiment gone wrong, Declan?
Yeah. I would say it's definitely a government experiment gone wrong, and it's broken loose. It's off its leash, and it's wreaking havoc along the coastal waters of Southern California down into Mexico.
And who comes to save us but Eric Roberts? Am I
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, my friend Eric Roberts, who I did Cyclops with. I had him in a Roman toga last time we met, and he was fighting a one-eyed monster. So there you have it.
Yeah.
Now, Ralph, the last time we had a sci-fi representative on was to talk about the sharktopus. That was some time back, right? And we just kind of got an overview of how the filming was going to go, right? Is that right, Ralph?
Yeah. We talked to a VP over there at Sci-Fi, and he was telling us about the production. And Declan, if I'm not mistaken, you're already done with principal photography on this, right?
Yeah, I'm done with principal photography, but we have a little second unit thing coming up. And, you know, I was so impressed, Ralph, with
my audition reel?
Your audition, the narwhal, the sound effects.
For those of you who don't remember, I did a short audition scene where I played a character of my own creation named Achilles Hardigan, who was an oceanographer / former Navy SEAL. Who set out to capture the sharktopus aboard his research vessel, the Narwhal.
And you know, the damn you sharktopus I felt your sonorous tone, you know, came right through the radio waves to me.
Let me play a little bit of that, Declan, if people haven't heard it.
There doesn't seem to be any marine life for miles. It's as if they're all afraid of something. It's quiet. Almost too quiet.
Sharktopus! Save your bullets, Anderson! There's only one thing that's going to stop this monster, and that's this device of mine! And I'm going to have to stick it right down this bastard's throat! Come on, you son of a bitch! Come and get me! Damn you, sharktopus!
First of all, you're writing yourself out of the sequel, it sounds like, Ralph. And second of all, Declan, so you heard Ralph say that and you thought, hey, maybe something like that might work in the movie?
Yeah, you know, I heard Ralph do that, and then I saw, like, Craig Ferguson do, like, a 10-minute bit on his show about sharktopus.
Yeah, he's excited, too.
I figured, you know, maybe Ralph and Craig could arm wrestle or fight or see who could hold their breath longest, you know?
For a role in the movie?
Yeah, you know what? But Craig, he's Scottish, right?
Yeah,
Mr. Fancy Pants. I don't know if he'd want to do it, but you know, I thought that would be a cool thing to do, or you know, just why not go ahead and put Ralph in the movie?
Yeah,
yes.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
So you think you got a little something for me?
You play a DJ who's been kicked out of the United States for various nefarious things.
Right, well, that's very close to happening, actually. And then what's my involvement with the sharktopus?
Well, you're down there in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, playing spinning records for the spring break kids. And you get on to the sharktopus story. And that's all I can legally say at this point.
Sure, we don't want to give it away.
Yeah. I don't want to give it away. But
because of all the competing sharktopus projects, they might steal your idea, Declan.
Have you guys seen Avatar?
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
This beats it.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
I'm sure it does. So this is amazing because I didn't know until we had you on, sir, that I honestly thought you were going to come on and go, well, too bad you missed the window of opportunity. We're already done. But it sounds like you've still got some filming to do and that you are going to include Ralph. And that's like the best news I've ever heard.
Yeah. I mean, it's
going to be a ton of fun. I know Ralph's a big fan. I'm a big fan of Ralph, so why not?
Oh, thank you, Declan.
Awesome.
When we get together, when we're on the set, I've got some ideas I'd like to pitch you about maybe another film that we could work on together. It's in the same vein as Sharktopus, it's about a giant half-dolphin, half-barracuda called Dolphacuda.
Dolphacuda?
Yeah.
I don't know if I need too many of those in my oeuvre, but we'll see.
How about a giant blowfish meets a giant seahorse called Blowhorse?
When do you hope to air Sharktopus on Sci-Fi, Declan?
I think it'll be ready sometime in the fall.
Oh, this is so good. This is such great news. I'm so excited.
Well, it should be a lot of fun.
Well, let's get in touch later today, Declan, and we'll find out exactly how to go about this. But I would love to be, as you know, I would love to play some small role in Sharktopus.
Cool. Excellent, guys.
And, Ralph, you also have a lot of experience already on TV playing a DJ, right?
Yes, that's
true. Was that your role in Charmed?
I did that twice on Charmed, yes.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
And I figure, Ralph has all these access to, great sound effects. I could probably, get stuff out of him, too.
I'll give you a little sound editing help, sure, whatever you need.
All right. Thank you to Declan O'Brien, the genius behind Sharktopus, coming later this year on the Sci-Fi Channel. We appreciate you talking to us. Thank you, Declan.
No problem, guys. Take care.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. The beautiful Kat Von D joins us in minutes, and the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices next
hour.
Nope. Unless Ralph can come up with something else so that we don't have to, as he's so desperately trying to. That's all on the way on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I think maybe we should do a review of Monster Arc. I'll crack out my DVD and go through that.
I would love that.
Speaking of bad movies, we'll be talking about this more as the weeks progress leading up to its release, but I saw a movie recently called Best Worst Movie, which is a documentary about the film Troll 2, which according to IMDb and RottenTomatoes.com is the worst film ever made.
Wow.
And so the documentary is made by the kid who played the lead in that movie some 20 years ago, and he goes back and he reunites with all the cast and crew and director of this film. It is one of the funniest things you've ever seen. It's
no
like
kidding.
A Christopher Guest movie.
Wow.
But real life.
When a movie is that bad, though, doesn't it come around to start being pretty interesting because you can't believe how inept it is?
I didn't know, but Troll 2 has a huge cult following because it's so horrible that people love it. And so we'll talk more about it. I think it comes out May 21st, I think, is the date. So
great.
We'll talk about that. But I also want to get Troll 2 in here and do a little video vault.
Yes.
To take you through the actual movie itself, because it's pretty spectacular. All right, let's talk about some good movies. Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the most successful film of all time, as you can imagine. Plans are already underway to make Avatar 2. And James Cameron has announced at least the vague themes that the movie will cover. Avatar, of course, had a sort of environmental undercurrent to it, sort of a lesson to be learned about indigenous peoples and the rainforests. Well, Avatar 2 apparently will concentrate on the oceans of Pandora. It'll be an underwater adventure. Sort of Avatar meets the, what was the underwater movie that he did?
The
Abyss.
The Abyss.
The Abyss.
Yeah.
That was pretty good, I heard.
I'm sure there will be some pretty good, you heard? That's right. He didn't know that James Cameron directed The Abyss. I think he was surprised by that.
Will Sharktopus make an appearance in that movie?
I think Sharktopus versus the Pandorans would be an excellent sequel. I like that a lot.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Sandra Bullock. He's going to be on the cover of People magazine this week. It'll hit newsstands on Friday. She is talking about her relationship with soon-to-be ex-husband Jesse James. She confirms that she has filed for divorce. However, the revelation is not that she is giving up on her relationship with her soon-to-be ex-husband. It's the fact that she's a new mom.
What?
Nobody saw it coming. She has adopted a son named Louis Bardo Bullock. He is 3.5 months old. He appears on the cover with her. He is an adorable little African-American chap, and apparently he was born in New Orleans.
Was his last name James until about 2 months ago?
I don't know. I don't know when this all became official.
Yeah.
And how long he's been living with Sandra, but she has confessed that she will be raising him as a single mom.
Now, he's really good at football, but he's from the other side of the tracks.
Yeah,
he's never
she
really...
takes him in, and she gives him a bed, and he becomes really good friends with her other son, and then... And then some country singer.
places to stay. Okay. I'll tell you this. There's an awful lot to admire about Sandra Bullock as a person and as an actress. I admire her very, very much. She has done a fantastic job of being one of the biggest stars in the world and managing to stay out of the tabloids and managing, until this happened, and managing to have a personal life and keep things private. And the fact that she was able to keep this kid off everybody's radar for 3 months just goes to prove that again.
Yeah. Even with all the scrutiny on her after this story broke, she's been pretty much remaining out of the limelight.
Yeah, she really has.
I can't imagine how that was possible. Bret Michaels is beginning what everyone predicts will be a slow and painful recovery from a brain hemorrhage. And apparently he's got another round of bad news in the ICU this week. He has an undiagnosed side effect from the brain bleed that apparently will lead to seizures for Bret Michaels.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, every rose has its thorn. Ralph.
Oh, my effing God.
What? I'm saying.
What little voice you have, you're wasting on that. Really?
I'm saying the good news is that he survived it. It could have killed him. The bad news is maybe there are some medical side effects going forward. See, because he's in the band Poison.
Don't try to cover it up with real reasons.
Me? They had a song called Every... never mind. You guys don't get it.
Michaels apparently suffered a type of stroke called a subarachnoid hemorrhage. Which means he's got spiders in his head.
Yeah, that's true.
It causes bleeding in the fluid-filled spaces around the base of the brain. And people, believe it or not, we were kidding about this, are speculating that the head injury he suffered from walking into that piece of scenery on the Tony Awards last June could actually have contributed to this condition.
Wow. I thought you were going to say his bandana.
Yeah, and his bandana actually was too tight.
So. No, I'm telling you, I think it's the bandana.
You know, speaking of fluid-filled spaces
in
your head.
Is that Gene Simmons over there?
Yeah,
it's kind of hard
really
to make him out from here.
Hey, Gene Simmons. There's a space in your head that needs to be fluid-filled, in my opinion.
Thank you, Gene.
I can take care of that for you.
No, I'm okay.
With fluid.
Conan O'Brien is going to be back on TV this weekend for the first time since he went off the air as the host of The Tonight Show. NBC prohibited him from appearing on television until May the 1st, so in his first possible opportunity, he's taking it. He'll be on 60 Minutes this Sunday, interviewed by Steve Croft. Interview's not live. It was taped in Los Angeles here last week. But by all accounts, it's interesting and funny.
Exciting story.
And Sacha Baron Cohen is one of the hottest comedy properties in Hollywood. His next feature film is in the works, and apparently four major studios are in a serious bidding war to land his next big screen project, and by all accounts are going to desperate lengths to impress him. Paramount Pictures, according to AbsoluteNow.com, the entertainment news website, Paramount Pictures sent a goat to his home and another one to his agent's office dressed in T-shirts with the Paramount Pictures company logo on it as a way to get his attention. They got their attention in more ways than one. His agent is a high-powered executive, and apparently the goat, when it was let into the office space of the agent, unleashed what nature makes goats do when they're not feeling well.
Right.
Oh. Okay.
When they have intestinal issues. And now the agent is complaining the smell is impossible to get rid of in his office.
That's not your goal.
That is not what you
Even want. If a goat doesn't drop deuces, it stinks.
Yes.
Goats stink.
Best case scenario, that's a smelly animal.
A freshly cleaned goat that doesn't go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
That was a bad idea.
And speaking of things that smell under the best of circumstances, Courtney Love is in the news. She's telling Us Weekly magazine that she slept with Gavin Rossdale while he was married to Gwen Stefani.
Uh-oh.
Why would she do that?
I have no idea. Courtney also says that Gwen knew all about it, too. Gavin or Gwen have yet to comment on this, and I'm doubting they will address this issue.
Yeah. But it's interesting. Later on the Kevin Bean Show, we'll have the tape of Miss Love on the David Letterman program last night, giving Psycho Mike a very nice shout-out.
Yes.
If you didn't hear that, you'll enjoy it very much.
Yes.
This is not the first time a woman's come forward and said that she's had sex with Gavin during his relationship with Gwen. Now it's the first time it's been a fellow musician, but
look, maybe they have an arrangement. Who knows?
Yeah,
I know Gwen's hit on me enough times. Made me think that maybe they had an open marriage.
Yeah. It was embarrassing a couple wiener roasts ago.
Could not get her paws off me.
Yeah.
Ugh. Today's celebrity birthdays: Mary McDonnell, very talented actress who played the president in Battlestar Galactica for a couple seasons. She is 57 years old today. Singer-bassist Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth is 57. Bridget Moynihan, very talented and lovely actress, is 39. Jorge Garcia from Lost turns 37 years old today. How great has Lost been, by the way, this season?
Amazing.
Not amazing.
Not even a little bit.
Amazing.
Oh, my God. F you being so good.
Penelope Cruz is 36. Jessica Alba is 29. And current host of The Tonight Show, Jay Leno, is 60 years old today. He is funny.
Any comments, Jay?
One time he was out there and he said, everyone laughed. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, 106.7 KROQ is the world-famous K-Rock at 809. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. I have long been, as we all have long been, admirers of the beautiful Kat Von D. And I've often wondered what it's like to go through life with that voice of hers. I'm thinking, what must it be like to talk to people all the time and sound like you're sick? And now that I'm sick, I know exactly what it's like. So this should be very interesting to hear me try to talk to Kat. I believe we have her on the phone right now. Hi, Miss Von D. How are you, my dear? Oh, you sound so much better than I do
you
today.
Do.
This is actually sad.
Oh, you sound really bad.
I know. It's been a rough few days. I feel terrible what I'm doing to the listeners, but I'm just trying to get on through. Hey, did we wake you up? Dave told me that he called, and it sounded like you were still in bed, I hope.
No. Why do you guys always think that? This is just how my voice is.
Because we want it to be true, because I want to believe that part of my job is talking to Kat Von D while she's in bed. That's why. All right, before we... Yes. All right, before we get to the event this weekend that I know is going to be awesome, I have to ask you, because I've been very much enjoying L.A. Inc. this season, and I guess the season finale is going to be tomorrow night on TLC. Why is there so much drama in your shop this year, Kat? Because you don't seem like a dramatic type person, but for some reason, the people that work for you get into so much drama. What's going on?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't really want to call those people who work for me.
I don't think right.
I necessarily do. I think it's more, more of like a network decision versus me. You know, I don't really like to hire anybody outside my family or friends. So, you got to just take it for what it is, you know. Hopefully people are really looking at the tattoos still. But I'm excited about the season we're filming now because we've... changed the format a little bit so it's not so much like over the top dumb drama, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, a complaint that a lot of people that we've talked to over the years that have gone through a reality television season will say, that's what the network wants to do, is they want to take anything they can that is dramatic and make your show look like The Hills, even though 95% of the time it might be smooth sailing in there. Is that pretty much what you're saying?
It's 99.9% of the time.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I've also been surprised, and I don't know if this is new this year or if I just noticed it, but it sure seems like most of the time that people come in to get tattoos, there's a downer story that goes along with it. They're coming in to get a tattoo because of a family member that left or because of a drug incident or because they got robbed and they want to commemorate that. Not a lot of happy stories walking through the door with people getting tattoos this season.
I would never be the best commercial for this season, but the next season I think will be something that you will be pleased with for sure. So just
All right.
through it. One more to go.
All right. One more question about LA Inc., by the way. And again, the season finale ends tomorrow night. And that is, what's it been like for you since you and your high-profile Motley Crue boyfriend broke up to see you guys all, you know, all young and in love and happy and holding each other and being there for each other when you watch the show every week? Is that kind of weird?
Are you saying that we're old and unhappy now?
No, I'm not saying that. It's just that I understand. I heard that you guys are no longer together.
Well, we worked it out.
Oh, there we go. I didn't know that. Oh, that's great news. Okay. Because I was thinking, how much would that suck?
Oh, man, you have no idea. When we broke up, I was so bummed because I had just finished writing my book, and my book was a giant love letter to him. And I'm just like sitting there going, oh, my God, how am I even going to do a book tour? I can't, you know, but... So for the sake of the book, we got back together. I'm just kidding.
I think that's a great reason. All right. Let's talk about this event this weekend because your boyfriend, Nikki Sixx, is donating a personal bass guitar that is autographed. Christina Aguilera is throwing in a meet and greet at a couple of upcoming concerts. Bass guitar lessons from Flea of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. What's this all about? Who are we raising money for?
This is for the Gay and Lesbian Center of Los Angeles, and it's called An Evening with Women. And it's presented by Linda Perry and Brent Bolthouse, who are both really good friends of mine. And, you know, I've always believed in the cause and always wanted to be a part of it, so I'm pretty excited. Linda thought up the idea of me donating a tattoo. And I never do that. I never raffle tattoos. And this time I was like, you know, I think if I ever do, this is a good time.
Wow, that's awesome. It's going to be Saturday night at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. Sarah Silverman is going to be performing. The band Heart is going to be there. Tickets are on sale now. You can go to aneveningwithwomen.org. That's the website address. And LA Inc. Season 3 finale is going to be tomorrow night on TLC. High Voltage Tattoo is the shop down on La Brea in West Hollywood. Kat, we love you. It's always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for calling in.
I like your voice. Bye.
106.7 KROQ is the world famous KROQ. It is 8:24. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, our old friend Joel McHale from The Soup is going to be joining us tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited about that.
Great.
Week. Also, Dr. Drew will be here because it's Thursday and we'll have more tickets for Iron Man 2. Actually, Ralph, we don't need you here because we're getting ready to do the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
That's why you need me here more than ever, because
I know that you don't enjoy this bit, but I'm telling you, we've got it. We're fine on this.
No, it needs to be seriously. You have to put an end to it, especially now that since I've I'm going to be starring in Sharktopus. I really can't afford to slum and to do this kind of work anymore. So let's just let it go. Let's just put it down.
What if we were to put Sharktopus on the wheel and it might land on the wheel and we might actually talk to Sharktopus?
Now what are you going to do?
Here's the thing that happens is we see so many great stories that come across our desk here at the Kevin and Bean Show that involve wacky animals. Mm-hmm. And we always think, how great it would be to talk to that animal and find out what that story was like.
Exactly. Then we do the same exact bit over and over again just by just changing the name of the animal.
The animals are very different.
No, they're not.
They are.
Trust me. I know the guy who does the animal voices, and they're not all that different.
Psycho Mike, you have the wheel handy there. This is the wheel that the great Adam Carolla built for us many years ago. And here's the possibilities that it could land on as we spin it. We might talk to the Japanese attack bear, for instance. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I would be very curious to hear that. Percy the albino squirrel is on the wheel. The tweeting Ugandan gorillas on the wheel. The Australian gay dog. The rock-throwing elephant. The human-faced lamb in heaven, which I somehow think we'll never talk to.
Can we just take that off the wheel, human-faced lamb in heaven?
What about the giant Japanese jellyfish? Hi, come on, how great might that be?
That scares me.
The renegade kangaroo and the smiling dog. All of these available for our enjoyment on the wheel. Let's go ahead and spin it. And hey, do we have the big intro?
We do. I'm sorry. Here we go.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad. But Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time
Let's go ahead and spin that wheel and see where it lands.
Nothing worse than this bit is that intro.
Australian gay dog.
Australian gay dog. Oh, don't leave, Ralph. You're going to want to hear this. It's going to be really good. Oh, Ralph, come back. All right, here's the story. Just reported this week, an Australian restaurant has been forced to apologize and pay compensation after refusing to let a blind man enter the restaurant because they thought his dog was gay.
That doesn't make any sense.
Ian Jolly, 57, was attempting to dine at the Thai Spice restaurant in Adelaide, Australia, when he was refused entry after a staff member misheard his female companion and thought that his guide dog was a gay dog. So it was just a misunderstanding. She thought it was a gay dog, not a guide dog, so they said, no, you can't come in the restaurant. The staff genuinely believed that Nudge was an ordinary pet dog which had been de-sexed to become a gay dog, the owner said in a statement to South Australia's Equal Opportunity Tribunal. Jolly is now set to receive a written apology and $1,400 in compensation. I believe we have Nudge on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Nudge. How are you? Nudge? Yeah. Your owner was kind of upset when he was asked to leave the restaurant because of you.
Yeah, it was ridiculous to go into the restaurant and have all this happening.
I believe, actually, you're an Australian dog, Ralph, not an Austrian dog.
Oh, I thought that was Austrian.
No, it's Australian.
I'm so confused.
Oh, crikey. Now I'm stuck with this accent, though.
So it was just
a
big
confusion. First they thought I was gay.
Yeah.
And then they thought I was Australian. But I'm a straight Austrian dog.
Well, this is just a mess from day one then, right? This
is
nothing but trouble.
Yeah, they have me confused on so many levels.
All right, now you're starting to sound like the Pope now, Nudge. So apparently one of the staff members thought that you were a gay dog, not a guide dog, and asked you to leave the restaurant. How did that make you feel at that time?
Well, naturally it hurt my feelings.
Uh-huh.
Because you don't want to be called the gay dog. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
Of course not.
If I was Skate Dog, I would, wear the armband, the rainbow armband proudly.
Right, you would own it. You would be proud.
But
sure.
I'm not a gay dog. I tell you, as a dog, you lick your own privates, and suddenly you're gay. Everyone thinks you're gay, but it's not the case. It's just the way I clean myself.
They do like to stereotype and put you into a little box just for something that's perfectly normal. Yeah. It sounds like.
Oh, listen to that! I heard that earlier. I would have known where I was.
Wow, that's awfully impressive. Well done, Nudge.
Thank you. Hello.
106.7 KROQ is the world famous K-Rock.
It's just showing off.
It's just showing off. Yeah. You can do that. I can't do that. It's at 8:37. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk about the James Bond franchise for a minute. It is the most successful movie franchise in history. I have heard that the franchise has pulled in over $4 billion at the box office. Adjusted for inflation, Ralph, over $11 billion.
I love every one of the James Bond movies ever made.
How many they made? About 22? Something like that?
22, 23? Yeah. Okay. Maybe I don't love Octopussy, but all the other ones were really
good. The last one wasn't that great.
Quantum of Solace?
I did not like it.
Oh, Lisa.
I liked it.
I didn't like it.
She has a
vagina. Sarah Jessica Parker was in it. You'd like it.
Exactly. She has a vagina.
Exactly. Well, the reason James Bond is in the news right now is not, unfortunately, because of a new James Bond movie. It's because 007 is on ice. Its movie studio that owns the franchise, MGM, is apparently very close to bankruptcy, has been trying very hard to sell the movie company, has not been able to. So a few days ago, they had to release a statement saying, due to the continuing uncertainty surrounding the future of MGM and the failure to close the sale of the studio, we have suspended development of Bond 23 indefinitely, which was the working title before they named it. And I'm really bummed out because Sam Mendes was going to be the director.
Yeah.
Peter Morgan, who wrote The Queen and Frost Nixon, was one of the writers on the film.
Yeah.
And Rachel Weisz was going to be in the movie, too.
Oh, wow.
So.
Oh, she'd be a great Bond girl.
Everything about it sounds like it was going to be great, but maybe no Bond 23. And we thought, who better to go to get his take on it is the man who originated the character on film, the great Oscar winner Sean Connery, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Sean.
Well, hello, Barack and Michelle. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine, Mr. Bond. Mr. Connery. We just wanted to know what you thought about this story we've just been telling our listeners about the sad, sad state of affairs of MGM Studios and the Bond franchise.
First of all, I'd like to say I feel bad for
Daniel Craig, you mean?
Oh, Craig. I'm sorry. Let's see. He's James Bond. The company goes bankrupt. Let's see. How many times did they go bankrupt when I was James Bond? Let me think just for a moment. Let me look at some paperwork I have here. Oh, no times.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of things have changed in the many, many decades since you played the character. I mean, financially, it's a very different world that movies are made in these days, Mr. Connery.
That's true. And I think audiences have changed as well. I think when it comes to James Bond, that they just don't want any
Oh.
Okay. I don't know why you say that. People love Daniel Craig as James Bond. Yeah, it's a little bit different spin on the character than you brought, but people really seem to enjoy it.
Listen, people want James Bond with a little hair on his chest, okay? They don't want him waxed in a Speedo, getting ready for assless chaps night at Oil Can Harry's.
It would be very, very sad if after almost 50 years of the franchise going strong, if somehow we were done with it, though, wouldn't it?
It would, and I think in order to really reinvigorate the series, they need to bring back the gadgets. They've been missing that from the Bond films lately, and people love the James Bond gadget that Q gives him. And I think Daniel Craig, they should give him like a fountain pen that turns into a for him. Or maybe a briefcase that when you open it up, it turns into a
Okay. It sounds like you're just trying to invent scenarios where you can make Daniel Craig sound gay, but that's not the case at all.
Or maybe a lighter that, when you flip it around, it becomes a big
So I'm surprised that you haven't suggested that the way to get this movie made is to bring you back in the starring role.
Well, they can't afford me, obviously, if they're going bankrupt, because the cost to bring me back as Bond would be astronomical. Mm. First of all, I would make several demands. I would need at least $30 million a motion picture.
Wow, $30 million.
And I would need a proctologist to take a look at Daniel Craig's to see if it's true that you can yodel into it.
Oh, no. Well, I don't know what's likely to happen, but we're going to be very sad if Quantum of Solace turns out to be the last James Bond movie ever.
I will, too. I feel so sad that I'll have to call Daniel up and offer to give him give him a new dress to wear or something.
Aww.
Let him cry on my shoulder, and maybe I'll put my hand up his skirt.
Okay. I bet you will. Thank you, Sean. Great to catch up with you.
Good talking to you, and nice voice.
I'm doing the best I can.
I know.
Pretty.
That was
pretty. Thank you. Thank you for that, Lisa. Enjoyed that. 106.7 KROQ. It's 8:50. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Why was David Letterman talking about our own Psycho Mike on his program last night? On the Letterman program, not on the Psycho Mike program.
Was he interviewing a disappointed woman?
As a matter of fact,
yeah,
he was.
Yeah, you could
guess.
That.
That's how you know.
We will play the tape for you coming up here in just a few minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph joins us for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Oh, if your name's Amy Scobie, you're in trouble. I would have someone else start my car for me if I was named Amy Scobie.
Why?
Amy Scobie is publishing a new book all about Scientology.
Oh.
She is a former member of the church. Apparently, she claims, was high up in the organization. And she's written a book talking about Scientology and includes stories about Tom Cruise.
Uh-oh.
About his involvement with the church and about the rumors of Tom's sexual orientation. And even a sex tape that exists with Tom in it and an undisclosed partner.
All right. First of all, Tom Cruise is extremely heterosexual.
Well, of course.
And of that, I'm sure.
Yes, we all know that. But this wrong-headed woman may be asserting otherwise in her book.
I saw in South Park that he just wants to pack fudge in peace.
That's right. He's a fudge packer, and that's all he wants to do. You know? Jason Alexander, Seinfeld fame. Had a scary moment on Tuesday. Minor accident. He hit a teenage bicyclist here in Los Angeles. He was driving his car and hit a 14-year-old boy who was on his bike on his way to middle school.
I don't even know what that is.
A 14-year-old boy is a boy who has reached the age of 14, rather.
I was sad to find out that just a few years after Seinfeld that Jason Alexander can no longer afford to operate a car. That's what my takeaway from this story.
I don't understand. He wasn't on the bike. I think the kid was on the bike.
Oh, he wasn't on the bike. Oh, yes, he was driving a car.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Right.
So the times are not as tough for him as I feared.
No,
good.
No. He struck the teenager on the bike.
Ooh.
On his way to middle school. And the kid was taken to the hospital. He's in stable condition. Police say Jason wasn't in the wrong, so he won't be receiving a ticket or he wasn't arrested. But
still
that's, yeah. That's regardless, it's scary as hell when you do that.
Yeah.
I want to be John Goodman.
I have no idea.
Ooh.
Any of that means. We've been giving away tickets all week long to a special screening of Iron Man 2, one of the most anticipated films of the year. Robert Downey Jr. stars, and he may be starring in another movie that I'd like to see. Talk has been for some time that they are making a biography of Hugh Hefner.
Oh, yeah.
Who will play Hugh in this biopic about his life? Well, there's been a lot of chatter. And Robert Downey Jr., apparently, has been one of the names high up on the list. Now, Hefner was at the Iron Man 2 premiere on Monday night, and he said it's a definite possibility that Robert will be playing him in the film.
Great choice.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Great choice.
Hefner said, I couldn't do any better than Robert, and when it comes to playing Hef, even Robert Downey Jr. is on board. I think I want to be Hugh Hefner, he said.
So I bet, yeah.
Dave, the King of Mexico, I believe, was also on the red carpet at the Iron Man 2 premiere.
Also in the running to play Hugh Hefner.
I believe he is, yeah. Oh, I'm going to have bunnies and in magazines, and Marilyn Monroe will be in my magazine.
Do we know if Dave got any interviews with Scarlett Johansson and Gwyneth Paltrow on those that he had on the list he was hoping to talk to?
I'm not positive. I think maybe not so much.
Scarlett, because you are from Ale, are you as fan of Paramore big time as I is?
That was one of his questions. Sandra Bullock will be on the cover of People magazine on Friday. She gave them an exclusive interview about all the chaos and turmoil surrounding her in her life these days with her soon-to-be ex-husband, Jesse James. Sandra says in the interview that she has indeed filed for divorce. I am sad and I am scared, she said, regarding the changes in her life. However, there is an upside. She has adopted a brand new son.
Yeah, there it is.
Louis Bardo Bullock will be also appearing on the cover of People magazine with Sandra.
Thank me, baby.
He is 3.5 months old, and he is an adorable little African-American child from New Orleans.
I drink your milkshake.
Sandra says he was brought home quietly in January, so she's been with the boy since January, and she named him Louis after Louis Armstrong, legendary singer and trumpeter, jazz trumpeter. He was, of course, responsible for the song What a Wonderful World, that you may have heard many times, and she said she heard that song in her head the moment she laid eyes on the boy, and that's where the name Louis comes from.
You're so gay.
Oh, I can't wait to get
you
that.
Are so gay.
Hey, let's all play something, shall we?
Come on,
let's
Mike.
All
I got
play
this, I think I got this handled, Mike.
Cranky. No,
Mike doesn't think anyone has anything handled. He's got to join in at some point. He has to show you how it's done.
First off, what
I
do
hate
I have to do
people.
With this? It's Rodney.
Touch me, I'm going to scream.
And Taylor Swift.
Well, I'd like to see them play.
Gave two fans the surprise of their lives on Monday. These two dudes are students at Auburn University in Alabama. Mm-hmm. They launched a website back in January. And on that website, they put videos detailing their mission to get hugs from Taylor Swift. That was the whole website. How they were going to get hugs from Taylor Swift. Well, Taylor heard about that, and she contacted them and said, if you perform a series of good deeds that I put in front of you, I will hug you. And so she started asking them to do all this volunteer work and stuff, and apparently they did everything she asked. So Taylor showed up on campus and hugged the guys and then actually sang a little bit and did a little impromptu performance for some of the...
And you know, I like Taylor Swift. Beyond cute. She's really tall, you know. She's not going to go for me, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
How about the whores?
No, didn't know what to say about that. And Kevin James, who made Paul Blart Mall Cop a wild success in cineplexes across this great nation.
Astoundingly.
$146 million that movie made last year.
Damn it.
So Sony Pictures is very excited about having him appear in their new comedy project called Zookeeper. It'll be coming to us in October. Here's the premise. Kevin James is a single, lonely zookeeper who's looking to find a mate, and so he gets mating advice from the animals at the zoo. See?
What?
Because he talks to the animals, and they talk to him.
Really?
Then no.
Heard,
Adam Sandler, Sylvester Stallone, and Cher give some of the animals their voices.
No.
In this film that promises to be a classic.
No.
Okay.
No.
Just saying. Sharktopus is looking pretty good right about now.
Yeah. It sure is.
That's
the class of the room.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tonight Show host Jay Leno turned 60 years old today. Actress
Circus Freak.
Actress Mary McDonnell, who played the president in Battlestar Galactica, who never got to see the home planet. Well, she did see the home planet. And then she...
And then
she gave it up. Yeah. Sorry, bitch. Spoiler alert for those of you who are still 2 years away from seeing the finale of Battlestar Galactica. I got so many angry emails from people yesterday talking about
it. Really?
Spoiler alerts, yeah.
Well, the guy who was really upset with me about Dexter, he says, look, I don't have Showtime. I watch it on DVD. That's what I do at the end of every season, and season 4 isn't out on DVD yet. Yeah. So thanks a lot for ruining it.
So the rest of us just have to sit on our thumbs and wait for him to get the box set?
Yeah, apparently so. Apparently that's the deal, yeah.
No. Yeah, we have Showtime. We splurge for the $8 a month or whatever it is, and we watch it live. Douche. Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth is 57 years old today. Bridget Moynihan.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. Celebrates her 39th birthday. Penelope Cruz turns 36. Jessica Alba is 29. Oh. There's a birthday party I'd like to go to.
Yeah.
But you know where I'd be? I'd be in the corner eating all the cake with Jorge Garcia, who also celebrates his birthday today. He's 37 years old today. Lost is so good. I can't wait for the gearing up for the finale of Lost.
I can't wait for the finale, too, so I'll never have to watch it again.
You, how can you be so wrong so often?
Because I've seen it, and it's bad.
This year, the Sideways, the alternate universe, has been an amazing
time. I have no interest in that waste of time.
When are we going to have this debate? When are we going to debate this on the air? Because I
think
there's
no debate. It's a terrible show.
Open the phone lines and explain to you why you're wrong.
I'm too busy watching Friday Night Lights.
That is a great show.
Oh,
shut up, Lika.
I'm Ruff Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Set each other up.
And she talks all about it in People Magazine, which will be on stands this Friday. She not only talks about her divorce from Jesse James, but also the fact that she's adopted a brand new little boy.
Oh, good for you.
Louis Bardo Bullock is his name. He is an adorable little African-American child. Judging from the pictures, he is 3.5 months old. He's been living with Sandra since January. And she will now be raising him as a single mom. Well, Jesse James has made a statement in response to this story hitting the airwaves today, and here's what he tells People magazine. I'll just read you a few excerpts from the statement. My whole life has been full of hard decisions. The decision to let my wife end our marriage and continue the adoption of Louis on her own has been the hardest. The love I have for Louis cannot be put into words. Not having him around to love and to hold has left a huge hole in my heart. Sandy is the love of my life. But considering the pain and devastation I have caused her, it would be selfish not to let her go. Right now is the time for me to beat this addiction that has taken two of the things I love most in life.
Wow. What addiction is he talking about?
I'm assuming he's claiming a sex addiction.
Interesting.
Yeah.
By the way, that is a that is quite a coup for People magazine. Everybody in the whole world wants to talk to Sandra Bullock. I wonder what kind of an arrangement they worked out for that.
Yeah. And also to get this statement from Jesse James as well. So.
Right.
So that's what's going on. That just makes me sad on every possible level.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because
really,
I know we've been making a lot of fun about this story, and because that's what we do, but we've had Jesse in here a bunch of times on the show, and he seems like a really decent guy.
Very much so.
In spite of his behavior, and Sandra Bullock, of course, is America's sweetheart, and now there's a little boy involved and stuff, so it just sucks on every level.
And the other thing is, and we can't know specifically what's best for this couple, but there are a lot of couples that are able to work it out after infidelity and go on and stay married forever.
Yeah.
I mean, it is possible. It's not an automatic deal breaker for every couple. I understand if people choose to make that the decision,
right.
But there are some couples you hope can figure out a way to work through it.
So next story is kind of cool. Folks over at The Simpsons, Matt Groening and the producers, demonstrated a little bit of support for South Park this weekend. I don't know if you know saw Sunday's show or not on Fox, but you know in every episode, Bart Simpson, in the opening credits, is always kept after class and he needs to write something on the blackboard 100 times before he's able to leave. And sometimes they'll put very clever or funny things in there. Sometimes it's inside jokes that Bart is writing on the chalkboard. This Sunday, they altered what Bart was writing to show a little support for South Park in the wake of this controversy where Comedy Central altered their 2001st episode without Matt and Trey's permission. They bleeped some stuff. They covered some stuff up with some censored boxes. And understandably, Matt and Trey were upset about that. So the producers of The Simpsons put in the episode with Bart writing on the chalkboard, South Park, we'd stand beside you if we weren't so scared. Regarding the comments South Park made about the Islamic religion and, most importantly, their prophet Muhammad, because you're not allowed to depict Muhammad. That is a gross insult to their religion. And so that is the reason that they were threatened, seriously threatened, on a New York-based radical Islamic website.
Have you, that's a nice tribute to them. Have you noticed, have you read anything about that Everybody Draw Muhammad Day coming up on May 20th, Rob? Have you seen anything about that?
No, I haven't.
There is a cartoonist in Seattle who works for one of the Seattle papers who is calling on other cartoonists all across the world to, on May 20th, put Muhammad in their cartoon, figuring there will be so many of them, there will be hundreds of them, that the radicalism people cannot come and kill them all. And it would just go some distance towards showing support for South Park.
I wouldn't test them. I wouldn't see how many they could kill if I was a cartoonist. Maybe I'll be in the good group. Maybe I'll be in the unlucky group. I don't know.
By the way, a screen cap of that Simpsons scene with Bart showing support for South Park was a Kevin and Bean picture of the day earlier this week. So go to kevinandbean.com if you want to see that.
Cool.
Oh, well, I'm sorry if I'm late on this story. I'm not being sarcastic. I had no idea we had that up right now. I would have talked about that earlier.
I really didn't know either, but Dave's been telling me in my ear.
that's good to know. Apparently, there was a cartoonist. I guess it was. Was he Danish?
Yes.
That's right.
Who started this off. He did a rendering of Muhammad and caught holy hell for it.
Yeah.
And there was a Dutch filmmaker who was murdered in 2004 after he made a documentary on the violence against Muslim women in the Muslim faith. And so they don't fool around. Turns out some of these radical Muslims.
Yeah.
I like them. I'm in favor of them. I like them. I think Muslim's a great religion, and I think it's really cool. And I would never draw a picture of Muhammad.
Would you be willing to play Muhammad in a movie?
If he battles Sharktopus, I would.
There you go. Oh, that's a movie.
Yeah.
There's a sequel.
Courtney Love. You may have heard a little while ago, she was on Letterman last night. Dropped a name of Psycho Mike. And Letterman seemed impressed. He seemed to... I think you could probably get booked on Letterman right now if you called over there.
I got that kind of pull now.
I'm Psycho Mike. I'm the one you were talking about, Dave. Well, she made another confession this week. She told Us Weekly magazine that she slept with Gavin Rossdale while he was married to Gwen Stefani. This is after they got married. Courtney said Gwen knew all about it, too. Neither Gavin or Gwen have commented on this, and I'm imagining that they won't. But why would she say that?
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no reason to.
What's the point? Right.
It's a lose-lose for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Avatar 2 is coming out soon. Well, not soon, but someday. James Cameron, of course, under a lot of pressure to try to repeat the success he had with the first film. Avatar 2 will concentrate, he claims, on the oceans of Pandora. So, again, once again, looks like there's some environmental aspects to the second film. I'm creating it in a different environment. He said a different setting within Pandora. I'm going to be focusing on the ocean of Pandora, which will be equally rich and diverse and crazy and imaginative, but it just won't be in the rainforest. So, there you go.
I know that Avatar was the must-see movie there for a couple months, and of course it ended up going on to be the biggest successful motion picture of all time.
Yes.
When you look back on it, Ralph, is it a movie that held up that you think fondly of and are glad you saw, or was it just a moment in time and it's something that everybody was doing and you went?
It was an event movie. You had to see it. I did go to see it. But my favorite films are the movies that I can watch over and over and over again, and I can't imagine myself ever watching Avatar again.
Yeah, I don't hear much. I don't hear many. Although lots of people went out and bought it when it went on sale on DVD last week.
True.
I can't imagine that a lot of people are still crazy about watching Avatar.
I'm glad I went. I enjoyed it. I'm not saying I didn't like the movie, but it just it's kind of a ponderous film. It's a lot to get through, and I can't imagine sitting through it again. And so much of it was the 3D too. Right. I certainly can't imagine watching it in 2D.
I still haven't seen it.
Really?
I haven't seen it either, but when I see the commercials for it, I go, it doesn't look that good to me.
It was an impressive achievement in filmmaking, let's say that. But it didn't really strike any emotional chords with me and kind of, you know, turn me on, so to
speak. Gotcha.
Yeah. Although, you know what I am looking forward to, and I may be misguided in this, judging just by the commercials and the trailers, is this new Robin Hood with Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
That's my kind of movie. I love those swords and bows and arrows and hand-to-hand combat kind of things. It'll say Gladiator, basically, with him in tights.
And I do like that it looks like it's going to be a grittier detailing of Robin Hood.
Absolute Now did an interview with Russell Crowe regarding his film career, and he said he has suffered serious, numerous injuries throughout his movie-making career. He says it's not for sissies, movie-making. He got seriously injured in Gladiator, which you may remember was the Roman epic, where he played a slave and gladiator in that film. Cinderella Man, where he played a boxer.
Yeah.
Which is a great film. And a movie called Mystery Alaska, which I really loved. I don't know if anyone else here has seen it.
That was a fun movie. Yeah, that was good.
But it was about hockey players up in Alaska with him and Burt Reynolds, of all people. And he said he got seriously hurt making that, too. So, see? It's a man's profession, acting.
There you go.
Especially when you're taking on Sharktopus. I'm just excited because I got my script for Sharktopus.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about it.
They just emailed it to me, and I'm very excited. I can't talk about it. I'm under contractual obligation. I can't talk
about it. Oh, really?
Yeah. I can't spill the beans. I can't give you a spoiler on Sharktopus.
Okay.
It would be like drawing Muhammad at this point.
It would be. It's very similar.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Jay Leno, host of The Tonight Show, is 60 years old today. Actress Mary McDonnell, who was so good on Battlestar Galactica, played the president.
She was the lead singer of the Doobie Brothers for a while, too.
That was Michael McDonald.
Sure.
Very different. She is 57 years old today. Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth is 57 years old today. Bridget Moynihan celebrates her 39th birthday. Penelope Cruz turns 36. Jessica Alba turns 29 years old today. And good friend of Jacob on the island, and, of course, the owner of the Mr. Cluck chicken franchise, Jorge Garcia, celebrates his 37th birthday today. So good on Lost this season.
Yep. The whole season's been great.
Right, Ralph?
Yeah, it's just been excellent amazing. Season. Amazing television.
Big fan of the sideways flash.
Blah, 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 blah.
All right, Kesha. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Hey, by the way, where did the news broad go during the showbiz beat? Is it okay just to pick up and just walk out whenever you want?
She coughed up a small owl while I was doing the showbiz beat.
So I thought it best to leave the studio.
Had to run out of the room.
A minute or two.
The news broad?
Bobby Slayton?
Welcome back, Callie.
Thank you.
And be sure to feel better for tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean show because we got a good one. Look, we've barely recovered from Sharktopus. What if I were to tell you tomorrow we have the writer-director of The Human Centipede on the program tomorrow?
Is that like a superhero?
He captures people and surgically stitches them together so that he tries to make a human centipede. I'm not sure. We'll ask. I believe he surgically connects their intestines together.
Oh,
so they're all one
on.
Person. Yes.
Yeah. That ain't nice.
It looks terrifying. Also, it's a Thursday. That means our friend Dr. Drew is going to be here for his weekly visit. Joel McHale is going to be on the program from Community and from the Soup. Love Joel. He's awesome. We got more tickets for Iron Man 2. You get a chance to see it 3 days before it opens, a week from Friday. So we'll send you to that screening in Hollywood at the ArcLight Theater. We're going to touch on briefly the controversy that's happening in Arizona with their new immigration policies. Mm. Believe it or not, there is a celebrity involved in that story, and we will talk about that on tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show.
Did somebody order Mexican?
And the return of Spencer Pratt on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow as well. That's all going to be right here for an all-new show, so come on back and join us, won't you, tomorrow. Don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. You won't even be able to tell I'm leaving because Cat will come in and sound just like this.
That's right, yeah.
She's got some Modest Mouse, also the band Phoenix. We got Nirvana, Linkin Park, Silver Sun Pickups, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.